Bookworms by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 10. Learn to Fly. The three kids had departed Hagrid's hut after a nice spot of tea and headed for the training grounds for the first flying lesson. It was the Gryffindors and Slytherins again, and the two houses were largely separated, with the main exception of Daphne remaining close to Hermione and Kellen. She had expressed some regret about being sorted as a Slytherin multiple times, but each time Kellen and Hermione assured her that it's okay to be a Slytherin, and that she was a far better representative of her house than Malfoy. The flying coach, Madame Hooch, arrived with whistle in hand.
"All right, everybody," she barked. "Listen up. I need all of you to line up by a broom. Quickly now."
Each student lined up as instructed. Madame Hooch nodded.
"All right, then. Now you're each going to learn how to summon your broom. Stretch your hand out like so, and give a hearty up like this."
She stretched her hand out, and yelped a confident up, and the broomstick easily floated to her hand. She smirked. "It may come a bit more easily to some of you more than others, but don't give up. Practice makes perfect. I'll give you a few minutes to try it out."
The students each tried to summon their brooms as instructed, but only Harry and Kellen were able to get it on their first try. Daphne's broom stood up and flopped over. Hermione's broom nearly wiggled. Poor Neville's broom didn't do anything at all. Kellen smiled at his two pretty friends.
"Say up loud and proud. Be confident. Don't think you can do it. Know you can do it."
Daphne was able to summon her broom on her second attempt and squeaked in delight.
"Thank you, Kellen."
Hermione still couldn't quite get the hang of it. Her broom flopped around sort of like a fish out of water, but the broomstick was still nowhere near reaching her hand. A couple of tears rolled down her cheeks. Kellen smiled at Hermione.
"I know you're disappointed in yourself because you're usually very successful in everything you do, but at the end of the day, you're still Hermione Granger, and you have an awful lot to be proud of."
He placed a hand on her shoulder.
"Look at me, Hermione," he said gently. "I want you to do something for me."
Hermione wiped her cheeks with her robe sleeve.
"Okay, Kellen," she replied somewhat hesitantly. "What do you have in mind?"
Kellen's smile broadened.
"I want you to think about something very, very positive. A wish, if you will. Like acing your end-of-year exams."
He lowered his voice to a whisper.
"Or a date night with me one day, if that'll make you happy."
A few tears still flowed down Hermione's cheeks, but she managed to crack a smile.
"Okay, Kellen, I'm thinking," she replied softly. "Good," replied Kellen. "When you have that happy thought, I want you to shout the word up as loud as you can. I promise that broomstick will come right to your outstretched hand."
Hermione closed her eyes, thinking the happiest thought she could manage. When she found it, she yelped,
"Up!"
Exactly as Kellen told her to, and just as he promised, the broomstick levitated to her hand.
"Oh, Merlin," Hermione murmured. "You're amazing, Kellen. I can't even begin to thank you enough."
"It's no problem," Kellen replied casually. "You do the same for me."
Madame Hooch had witnessed Kellen assisting his classmates and decided to pull him aside. "Grimsith, a moment, please," she asked.
"Yes, Madame Hooch," Kellen replied.
"I couldn't help but notice you assisting Miss Granger and Miss Greengrass with the summoning technique. That's very impressive, especially with how you taught Miss Granger. And I'm equally impressed with the fact that you were willing to help a student from another house altogether without a second thought. You're a true team player, young man. 5 points to Gryffindor for your efforts."
"Thank you, Madame Hooch," Kellen said appreciatively.
Harry had similarly coached Neville with his summoning technique, and just like with Kellen, Madame Hooch awarded Gryffindor another 5 points for Harry's efforts, as Neville was the slowest learner of the entire group. After Madame Hooch was satisfied with everyone's progress, she proceeded to teach her charges the next step of how to handle a broom.
"All right, class, now we're going to kick off from the ground and see if we can each get a few feet above it. You don't have to go very high, just a few feet will be fine for now. Kick off from the ground, and then angle your broom down to return to the ground. I'll demonstrate this technique as well."
She clicked her boots on the ground, and went up several feet in the air, and then pointed her broomstick down towards the ground for an easy landing.
"It's as simple as that, everyone. Do you think you have that down? Even a couple of feet above the ground is better than nothing. Now my whistle. I want everyone to kick off."
Daphne clutched Kellen's arm.
"I'm scared, Kellen," she squeaked. "I promise I won't let anything happen to you," he replied.
Madame Hooch held her whistle in front of her mouth, then blew,
"3, 2, 1, tweet."
All the students kicked off from the ground as instructed, but poor Daphne was so nervous that she lost all control of her broom. Suddenly she was 20, then 40, then 150 feet in the air.
Help!
She cried out. Her broom was floating back towards the castle, and the poor child was clinging for dear life. Before Madame Hooch could react, Kellen already went into action. He quickly pointed his broom upward and sped off to catch up with Daphne. Unfortunately, her broom was starting to buck, and she couldn't hold on any longer. She screamed as she fell off her broom, but thankfully, Kellen was more than quick enough to catch up to her. He steadied himself as he stood on his broomstick and deftly caught Daphne in his arms, right in front of Professor McGonagall's office window. Professor McGonagall was so stunned at what had just happened, she accidentally shattered her teacup. Professor McGonagall hurried outside to address Kellen and Daphne.
"What in the name of Merlin just happened?"
she exclaimed, rather incredulously.
"Kellen saved my life, Professor," Daphne replied shyly. "I couldn't control my broomstick and I fell off. I'm very grateful he was able to catch up with me, otherwise I'd be at the infirmary, or worse." "You've broken some serious rules, young man,"
Professor McGonagall admonished Kellen.
"Could have seriously hurt yourself in the process. Under ordinary circumstances, this will be grounds for many points lost, many nights of detention, even dismissal."
Her expression then softened.
"But there are times when rules can be bent, if not outright broken, if there is an emergency such as this. Your bravery and quick thinking saved Miss Greengrass's life, and you truly exemplify the core Gryffindor values. In addition to awarding Gryffindor 15 points for your heroism, I'll be consulting our Quidditch captain, Mr. Oliver Wood. I think you'll be the perfect replacement for him when he leaves Hogwarts, as I think you'll be the next great keeper for the Gryffindor Quidditch team. I'll owl you when we have a meeting time and place established, so he can train you to be his understudy."
Kellen beamed.
"Thank you, Professor."
Professor McGonagall chuckled.
"No, Mr. Grimsith, it's I that should be thanking you. You went above and beyond to save the life of a student outside your own house. I'll go ahead and notify Mr. Wood right away."
As Professor McGonagall left, Daphne gave Kellen a peck on the cheek.
"Thank you, Kellen," she said. "I'm so, so grateful that you're my friend. None of my own housemates would have stuck their neck out for me like you did."
The two friends then embraced each other warmly.
"Let's just say that after meeting you, I might be okay with being sorted in Slytherin," Kellen said. "I'll return the favor and meet you at your table sometime. You said that Tracy's pretty cool and Pansy's all right? You'd really do that? I know I gave you an open invitation, but I never actually expected you to accept or even seriously consider it," Daphne replied.
Kellen shrugged.
"Why wouldn't I? When I look at you, I don't see a Slytherin, Daphne. I see a pretty face. I see a sweet and honest girl. And I also see a real friend. I'm not going to lie, you'd make a terrific Gryffindor. But if you're serious about wanting to bridge the gap between Slytherin and the other three houses, I'll gladly help."
He then smirked.
"I can't speak for Hermione or my cousin Ray, but they're both very kind-hearted girls, and I can easily see them getting on board. I'm still a little nervous about what my parents would think knowing that I'm friends with not one but two Muggleborns," Daphne admitted. "They're not purists like the Malfoys are, but I think in their heart of hearts they would probably prefer the company of Half-Blood Minimum. But if they really knew you and Hermione, I think they'd get over the initial shock and warm up to you."
"I'm not one bit embarrassed to be a Muggleborn, or where I come from, no match," Kellen said. "I'm surprised you didn't say anything about my accent. It was the first thing Hermione mentioned when we met on the train," he added with a chuckle. "I come from Minnesota in the States, but she thought I was Canadian. Too funny."
Daphne shrugged.
"Where you come from matters about as much as blood purity in the grand scheme of things," she smiled sweetly. "When I look at you, Kellen, I don't see an outlander, as Malfoy says, or a nomad or Muggleborn, whatever you want to call it. I see a handsome and an exceptionally gifted boy with a heart to match. I see a true hero for all of Hogwarts to look up to, and most importantly, I see a close friend."
Kellen smiled.
"Thank you, Daphne, that means a lot."
He tilted his head slightly.
"Perhaps just this once, it can be just you and me at the Slytherin table, and you can introduce me to your friends. I figured it might be easier that way, because I'm just not sure how comfortable Ray or Hermione would be about going to the Slytherin table."
"I don't have too many friends in Slytherin, but I'm sure Tracy will be receptive at least. I'm a little nervous about Pansy, as she is one of Draco's friends, so please don't take this the wrong way. I'd imagine she's rather afraid of you because of what you've done to Draco the past couple of nights, even though you were just sticking up for your friends."
"I can see that," sighed Kellen. "I'd never hurt her, and I never really meant any harm to Malfoy. He's a turd, but I wouldn't hurt him for real."
Daphne giggled.
"Did you just say turd? That one doesn't get used much around here."
Kellen suddenly switched to his flawless received pronunciation dialect.
"I'm sorry. I suppose I meant to say that Malfoy's a right rotter.
Daphne arched an eyebrow.
Wait, did you just use my dialect? You never told me you knew British slang.
Kellen kept going in his posh received accent.
My mum's from London, and everyone from her side of the family lives in Great Britain. I've spent quite a few summers here, so I naturally picked up the dialect. I can code-switch on a whim.
Daphne smiled warmly.
You don't sound at all like an outlander. In fact, your British accent is really cute. It's perfect, really. You should use it more.
Kellen laughed, but reverted to his upper Midwestern accent.
That's exactly what Hermione said.
He grinned at his friend.
In all seriousness, just because I can speak the Queen's English perfectly well, I feel a little weird doing it because I'm just a Minnesota farm boy at heart. Not a clever clog, not a wizard, just a simple farm boy.
Daphne's eyes filled with wonder.
You really are too good to be true, Kellen Grimseth. You're way too modest to be a Gryffindor. I've never met a farm boy before. What's that like?
Kellen shrugged.
Lots of hard work. I have to get up at 5:30 in the morning to feed the dogs and the sheep, clean poo out of the barn, stuff that wizards would probably find revolting.
Daphne closed her eyes and stuck out her tongue in disgust after hearing the poo-cleaning bit. Kellen smiled.
Of course, there's a lot of fun, too. We have our own private pond for fishing, lots of nights playing baseball and football with my brother and friends from school, and in the winter there's snowmobiling, ice skating, sleigh rides, snowball fights, hockey on the frozen pond, hot chocolate. It's wonderful.
Daphne returned the smile.
I'm not rightly sure what a lot of that stuff is, but it does sound fun. I know that being a pureblood has its privileges, but in a weird way, I am a little jealous of Muggle-born wizards, precisely of the things you described. Sleigh rides and hot chocolate on a cold day sounds wonderful. Maybe you can take me to your parents' farm one day. I've never really mingled with Muggles, but you've genuinely got me curious.
I'd be delighted, Kellen replied. They're good people. They'll treat you right, I promise.
Daphne giggled.
I have no doubts about that, Kellen. If your family is half as sweet as yours, I'm sold.
Well, I suppose it's just about lunchtime,
Kellen replied.
Would you like to introduce me to your housemates? You know I'll play nice.
Daphne nodded.
I know you will, and I promise that they will play nice in return.
A few minutes later, they entered the Great Hall. Daphne made sure that she and Kellen stayed as far away from Draco and his cronies as they could so that nobody could stir anything up. Daphne and Kellen were by themselves for a few minutes until Tracy Davis took a seat across from the pair. Tracy winced slightly at not just seeing a Gryffindor sitting with Daphne, but the dangerous Kellen Grimseth. Tracy looked at Kellen rather nervously and tried to force a slight smile.
It's okay, Tracy, Daphne insisted. Kellen's a really nice boy. He comes in peace, I promise.
Kellen stuck out his hand and smiled at Tracy. She slowly broadened her smile and slowly took his hand.
Hello, Kellen, she said quietly. You're the one that saved Daphne during the flying lesson, right?
Kellen nodded.
I did, he said simply. I don't think I've met you before, Tracy. Daphne seemed to think you're a pretty chill girl.
Tracy giggled. Well, thank you, Kellen. You definitely don't seem to fit the Malfoy description of you.
You definitely don't seem dangerous. She looked at Hermione before addressing Kellen again.
Daphne thinks the world of you, by the way. She wouldn't stop talking about you before bedtime last night. I was about to stuff a bloody sock in her mouth.
She giggled again.
Anyway, I'm glad to meet you. Not many outside our house, particularly Gryffindors, want much to do with Slytherins. It's really nice to see someone take that step.
Kellen smiled.
I told Daphne that she'd make a terrific Gryffindor, but she's in Slytherin for a reason. I want to know that she's capable of doing plenty of good things as a Slytherin. I've come to understand that not everybody in Slytherin thinks like the Malfoys do, and that there are good witches and wizards in your house. Daphne wants to bridge the gap between Slytherins and the other three houses, so I offered to help her out. Oh, and I know a couple other open-minded witches who might pay you guys a visit another time, but I think for now it should just be me. I don't want things to be too awkward right off the bat.
I'm with Daphne there, agreed Tracy. It's a little hurtful that the other houses think of us as the black sheep, when most of us are actually pretty reasonable and really do want to make a positive impact in the wizarding world.
It's unfortunate, replied Kellen, because I think the ones who give Slytherin a bad name are also some of the most wealthy and influential names in the wizarding world.
Ain't that the truth? Added Tracy.
She smiled gratefully at Kellen.
Oh, and thank you for going after Daphne like that. It was very unexpected, but a welcome surprise. You have my respect for that.
A couple of minutes later, Daphne gestured to an older female student, sitting a handful of seats down.
The girl with the prefect badge, that's Gemma, she explained. She's a nice girl, I promise. I can introduce you to her if you'd like.
Okay, agreed Kellen.
Daphne and Kellen made their way towards Gemma so that Daphne could introduce them.
Hello, Gemma, Daphne said cheerfully. I'd like for you to meet someone.
He's a really nice boy. His name is Kellen Grimseth, and he literally saved my life during the flying lesson today. I just want him to see for himself that most of us in Slytherin don't bite.
Howdy, Gemma, Kellen said as he extended his hand. Daphne seems to think highly of you.
Gemma smiled radiantly.
Well, hello there, Kellen. It's a pleasure to meet you, she said as she shook his hand. And you saved Daphne's life. I'd like to hear the story, if you don't mind.
Kellen chuckled.
Madam Hooch was trying to get all of us to kick off the ground and get our brooms in the air, at least a couple of feet. But Daphne's broom has a mind of its own, and it must have risen well over 100 feet in the air, maybe 200, and was about to collide with the castle wall.
He gave Daphne a side hug. The poor thing, she was hanging on for dear life, and I figured someone had to do something. So I did the only thing I could. I took my broomstick and bolted off toward her as fast as I could. I was able to position myself on my broomstick where I could stand on it and catch her as I fell.
Daphne beamed. He's a farm boy, so he's got some deceptively strong arms. And what's more is that Professor McGonagall witnessed the whole thing, so she came out and it looked like she was going to give him a decade's worth of detention for disregarding protocol. But she also said that what he did was incredibly brave, and she was so proud of him because he was willing to risk his neck to save the life of someone from another house. I get the feeling that doesn't happen much, especially when it concerns Slytherin. She gave him 15 house points, which he definitely deserved, and what's more, she's going to have Oliver Wood train him to be Gryffindor's next Quidditch keeper.
Gemma's smile was brighter than a 100-watt bulb.
That's very impressive, Kellen. It's really good to see that students from other houses are willing to put house prejudices aside for a moment and do the right thing. Now, I won't go so far as to say I'll openly root for Gryffindor when you play your first match, but I'll root for you.
Thanks, Gemma, Kellen said, his cheeks turning pink. Daphne says she wants to make Slytherin, well, more approachable for other houses. She's opened my eyes, and I'm grateful that she did, because there are honorable witches and wizards in your house, and I'm sure it's hurtful knowing that they're all lumped as being practitioners of the dark arts. I told her that I'll help bridge that gap any way I can.
Gemma nodded. That's a very noble thing, you two. It's easier said than done, but I also would like a more unified Hogwarts where all four houses live harmoniously. She gestured to Kellen. I heard about your episode with the Malfoys earlier. And let me say that I'm sorry that you bore the brunt of their wrath. They don't represent all of Slytherin, and I assure you that when you put Draco in his place, both before the start of term feast and last night, you instantly won the respect of quite a few of us. Now that you saved Daphne's life, that level of respect has increased. I'd be delighted if you can help Daphne improve Slytherin's reputation. At the very least, I'm happy to know that you've discovered that as a whole, we're not scary.
It won't be an overnight fix, Kellen said, and it will take a lot more than just me, but I'll do my part.
That's all we can ask for, Kellen, Gemma replied.
I'm glad I got to meet you, by the way. I'm sure you're happier in Gryffindor, but I'd be delighted to have you in my house.
I am happy as a Gryffindor, yes, agreed Kellen. But after spending time with Daphne, I think I could actually fare well as a Slytherin.
I wish more of your housemates were open-minded like that, Gemma giggled.
At that moment, Pansy walked past Gemma, Kellen, and Daphne and took her seat next to Tracy.
Hey, Kellen, there goes Pansy. I don't know how she'll react, but... since she saw you save me, maybe she'll be open to meeting you, Daphne suggested.
Expect the worst, hope for the best, murmured Kellen. I guess we'll see how it goes.
Kellen and Daphne went back to their original seats.
Hey, Pansy,
Daphne said.
Hi, Daphne,
Pansy replied rather nonchalantly.
I have someone I'd like for you to meet, if you're okay with that,
Daphne offered rather nervously.
Grimseth, I know him,
Pansy said quietly.
At least of him.
Daphne was trying very hard to get Pansy to see Kellen the same way she did.
He's a really sweet boy. He saved my life at our flying lesson today.
I saw, Pansy replied. Good for him.
Let me try, Kellen whispered to Daphne. If it doesn't work, I'll leave well enough alone. Daphne nodded in agreement.
Howdy, Pansy, Kellen said in a friendly tone. I'm guessing you're not the biggest fan of me, and that's okay, I get it. Daphne thought you'd be worth getting to know a little bit better. She seems to think you're a pretty cool girl.
Is there something you're wanting from me, Grimseth? Pansy asked. You're being a little too friendly for my taste, so you'll have to forgive my skepticism.
Kellen shook his head no.
I don't have an ulterior motive. Daphne simply invited me to the Slytherin table. She wanted to introduce me to a few of her housemates, and so far they're all pretty nice. In fact, she's wanting me to help her bridge the gap between our two houses.
That's kind of a fool's errand, Pansy replied.
As long as certain families run the show in Slytherin, things just aren't going to change, she smirked. But that being said, you seem to be all right for Gryffindor, despite what Draco thinks. You don't seem to be the type that actively looks for trouble. So I suppose I have no problem with you spending a few minutes of your lunch hour with us?
Her smirk grew to a full smile.
Tracy seems to think you're all right. And you certainly provide a significant amount of comfort for Daphne.
She leaned over and whispered in Kellen's ear.
I'll hex you into oblivion if you tell anyone I said this, but you're much more pleasant company than Draco. You're probably the nicest boy I've ever met, but that's not saying much because most of the boys I know are prats, and you're brave like a Gryffindor should be, but you have very little of the typical Gryffindor arrogance. You're an almost impossible boy to hate, Grimseth.
Kellen grinned. You can call me Kellen if you want, Pansy.
Pansy giggled again. Let's not get too carried away, buddy. We're acquaintances, not friends. But I may be open to the possibility of friendship one day.
Acquaintances is better than nothing, I suppose, Kellen replied. Thanks for at least giving me a chance. Certain Slytherins look down on me as I'm both a Gryffindor and a Muggleborn.
You're also giving me a chance, said Pansy. Slytherin is very much an every-man-for-himself sort of house. But you'd rather sacrifice yourself in order to protect your friends. That's not a Slytherin quality at all. But if we were ever in danger, there might not be another person at this table I'd feel safer with than you.
She smiled again. Oh, you can tell Granger and Moultrie that they're welcome to stop by as long as they mind their manners. I don't bite. Hard.
I will, Pansy, replied Kellen. And for the record, I don't hate Draco.
Pansy shot Kellen a look.
You have every reason to hate Malfoy. He's only insulted you and your friends.
Kellen shrugged.
I don't. I actually pity him, because while he clearly admires his father, I also think he's deathly afraid of messing up in front of him. Lucius just seems cruel.
Cruel is a very accurate description of Lucius Malfoy, agreed Pansy. He clearly loves his son, but he's also grooming him to be every bit the cold-hearted bastard that he is. Rumor says that he originally wanted to send Draco to another school in continental Europe called Durmstrang. The whole school is like Slytherin on steroids, as they have a strict policy on not admitting Muggle-born students, and they don't even pretend to hide the fact that they practice the dark arts.
Yeah, there's no chance of me ever going to Durmstrang because I'm Muggle-born, Kellen said. Otherwise, there wouldn't be too much of a cultural barrier. I'm half Norwegian, and I speak the language fluently. Plus, I'm fluent in German.
Yes, those languages would be useful at Durmstrang, replied Pansy. And well, sorry that you're not a pure-blood or half-blood, Grimseth. You're insanely talented, and we're all at least a little jealous.
Why? Shrugged Kellen. I'm proud of my Muggle roots.
Huh, Pansy replied, somewhat shocked.
I've never heard of anyone actually being proud of being Muggle-born.
It's a farm boy thing, Pansy, Daphne said. He told me some things he did before coming to Hogwarts, and they actually sound really interesting. Ice skating? Snowmobiling? I'm not really sure what those are, but they sound like they could be a lot of fun to me.
I'll take your word for it, Pansy murmured. Well, Grimseth, it was a pleasure meeting you today. You'll have to forgive me if I'm always going to be a little leery of sitting at the Gryffindor table, but never say never, I guess.
She offered her hand to Kellen, who readily accepted it.
I'll see you another time, then, Kellen said respectfully.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Industrious Ferret by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.